You're listening to 2SCR on 107.3.
Yeah, it's a good sound that they have.
I'm not a worker. I let my life go by. I'm not a deep thinker. Only when I'm high. But when I'm high.
Gina, thank you for coming in and being here on The Band Next Door on 2SCR. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. I spent the majority of last night and most of this morning actually listening to the album. I really got into how nuanced and how subtle the whole experience really is. It does cover a lot of sonic terrain in the 35 minutes it does play out. And I'm quite surprised it became such a vibrant record considering the series of events that led you to recording it. Music and emotion have an interesting way of feeding off each other. So were you worried at all about the downward spiral that could potentially manifest itself when it comes to being in a place like that in isolation and purging yourself through writing and listening to music?
Look, honestly, at the time, I wasn't really thinking about it.
Okay.
I was just kind of writing, just being really open and honest with what I was going through. And looking back, I didn't plan to go there in a negative way. It was more a healing kind of sense. I wanted to kind of just get out and look after myself as such. So I think I was already at the stage of that kind of positive side, and the creative process was more reflecting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You grew up in Mitcham?
That's correct.
Why not go back to your hometown? Wouldn't that be somewhat more inspiring than kind of going out to Warrnambool?
Warrnambool?
Sorry.
Don't worry. Well, no, honestly, it was my grandpa's house. So I've been going to Warrnambool since before I was born.
Okay.
Every summer. And I just had a bit more of a kind of spiritual connection there, I guess you could say. I love the ocean personally, and it's, you know, always quite a happy place for me, spending summer holidays with the family. Mitcham is fine, but it is, like, you know,
still
me,
fairly,
yeah,
busy.
It's like a suburb, reminds me of school and all the things I didn't like.
Record the Mad Love EP in your hometown as well, or is going into isolation part of your process for writing music in general?
Look, I don't have a strict kind of way I do things, but with Mad Love, no, it wasn't an isolation thing. I think I was just kind of beginning as a writer.
Okay.
So songs were kind of just coming everywhere, and that was kind of, it wasn't necessarily like a bulk of work. It was the songs. I'm like, oh, I've got this song. Let's put it together. But Can't Make You Love Me is definitely more a focus piece. And yeah.
Reading an interview, it was a while ago now that you did, and you said that when the Mad Love EP was done, you felt very rushed in a way, and you didn't necessarily have time to think about what you were doing. Not that that's a bad thing. So now that you were in this place all by yourself, is there such a thing as too much time to work on a record?
Yeah, totally. When I did Mad Love, I think it was probably really beneficial that it was rushing. Being a new artist, like, go out, record, and do what you can.
Yeah.
And I think it was really good as well, because then I could reflect, actually, I want to take my time to think about this properly and not just record a song to have a song recorded.
Mm.
But yeah, I do agree that there can be too much time spent. And I probably could have done it in half the time, this album. But again, there's no rush. Mm.
But the Mad Love EP is a very bare bones affair.
Yeah.
Compared to what the exploration of your palette is on your new record. I know you were demoing back and forth with Tim Harvey.
Correct.
For this album. When you're in the process of demoing, is it the bare bones that you're working on? So is it, you know, like strumming a few chords and humming a melody, or are you more worried about how people are going to sonically interpret what's happening in your music?
No, kind of I have what works for me and is really important for me is to have the lyrics and maybe not the structure as such, but the core of the song ready and really strong. And then all the music element comes later. And so with Tim, it was just me recording on my iPhone back and forth, just me playing on the guitar.
Cool.
And that was really important. And it was important to him as well to have the songs, just standalone songs. And I play solo a lot too, so I think it's important to be able to just play
so
the songs.
You're still in touch with your roots, so to speak.
Yeah, nice.
I see a lot of comparisons in your music to Mazzy Star. Is that who you grew up listening to? Was there any kind of other influences that really took a turn for you in your music?
I love Mazzy Star so much. But I kind of have to admit, I only started kind of really listening to her until people told me, like, that you sound... I was like, what? I was born in the 90s, all those kind of sounds were on the radio at the time, and unknowingly they were getting into my head, and I really enjoyed it.
This record is a lot more electronic than the Mad Love EP, especially a song like Angel Face, which completely threw me, and I didn't know what to expect when listening to your album. There's the hint of, I find, kind of a bit of an 80s sound in there as well, as much as you love the 90s and you're born in the 90s, especially in a song like Rear View. I hear lots of like new wave romantics in that music. When it came to working on the background element, the synth element of what you're doing, how much input did you have with Tim on that? Were you mainly concerned about how the guitar parts were and he was doing the synth stuff, or was it an equal collaborative effort?
Yeah, it was kind of really perfect because with Tim, he's really technical. He knows everything, every sound. And I was really good at describing the sound, maybe more metaphorically kind of sense. So I'll be like, I want it to sound like, or just sing the, and he'd be like, oh, like this. It was kind of a teamwork. Tim introduced me to a lot of really, really cool synth sounds and tones. So that was, was quite a, but I just wanted to do something a little bit different, I think, going to this, and not be strict, not have to stick to one sort of genre as such.
I hear lots of the yeah, yeah, yeahs in Angel Face, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it makes me think of It's Blitz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I did love that album.
Books are a big inspiration for you as well. A phrase or a key term can trigger a lyric or a song, and you're reading a lot of poetry at the time, I believe, a bit of erotic poetry as well, which kind of played a part in this record. Do you always find yourself looking to books for inspiration? Do you take it from other aspects of your life as well? Do you find it's a helping hand for you?
Look, again, I think it's different every time, but naturally I'm inspired by words and phrases, and I think sometimes it'll be at a moment if I, hear a really good phrase, or even just somewhat like a conversation with someone. Someone says something and it strikes me, and it may just be what I was kind of already thinking but just didn't know how to kind of say it, and I would go off that. And, I think writing and reading kind of has to go together, to be honest.
Did you do like advanced English when it came to HSC, that kind of stuff?
Absolutely not. Like, I'm the worst speller ever. And I was not good at school.
A couple of the songs from the record kind of made its way independently out into the ether through yourself last year. How long have these songs been tinkering away in your head for? Because I know you went to record them in 2017. But I feel like they've been around with you for a longer time than that, and only really have truly reached their final form in this record.
Yeah. Look, honestly, what year is it? 2019. So I wrote the bulk of this album. It would have been in the summer 2016. No, it would have been 2017, sorry.
Okay.
Summer of that. That was the time spent away. But there is a few, like Wild One is actually a really old song. That's one of the last songs on the album. Like, I've wanted to write something or do something, but I didn't think I had the discipline to necessarily sit down and just do it.
Does it take a different meaning now in its current form than what it did when it first came to you?
Yeah, definitely. I think now that it has been a bit of a while, not that I ever lose the personal side to it, but I can kind of detach myself from some of those not so good feelings and just enjoy them as like songs and art, and that I'm, you know, happy, just having fun with playing.
We are going to hear a song from the album, I Don't Think I'll Ever Get Over You, I believe is a track you're going to play. What can you tell us about this song?
This song was, can I say, like an epic song for me.
Okay.
It took a few versions of it to write to get it. I just had to have this song perfect because it was very close to my heart. But once it was done, it was kind of like a real satisfying feeling of letting go.
To SER.
I don't think I'll ever get over you. I don't think I'll ever want to. Just the thought of someone else makes me sick. Just the thought of you tears me up. It takes time, I know, but I'm tired of letting go. No, I don't think I'll ever get over you. I don't think I'll ever get over you. I'd rather take my own life and take up someone new. 'Cause just the thought of someone else makes me sick. Just the no.